Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara. Hey everyone, welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
Hey, I'm Jess.
Hi, it's Friday. Welcome to our beauty podcast. We have an amazing guest. It's our interview day, the best day. I always wonder if people listen to these on Friday or like they save them for over the weekend. Personally, I like an interview while I'm cleaning the house and my headphones because I feel like someone's keeping me company. You know what I mean?
Totally know what you mean. Yes.
And guess who's keeping me company this weekend? It's you and Mariana.
I was like, me? No, it's all about the gorgeous Mariana.
Yeah, because I wasn't there. So I get to be a listener. It's so fun.
Yes. I had a lot of fun talking to Mariana Hewitt. You know, I'd interviewed her once before and she was lovely. But at that point, she was launching Summer Fridays, which is, you know, it's gone from strength to strength. She had launched with just the jet lag mask. And now it is like a full-blown line with so many other SKUs. And it's, you know, it's, I mean, everything has changed so much since it's launched. It was like, it's funny. She was talking about how when it launched, there were like no Instagram stories. She just needed something. She created Summer Fridays so that it would be a thumb stopper. Like a thumb stopper, it was her term, when you were scrolling Instagram. You know, like everything in social media has changed
the grid,
so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on the grid.
What a quaint time. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. She started as an influencer, co-created Summer Fridays with her partner and friend, another influencer, Lauren Gores. And now she has her own amazing podcast, Life with Mariana. We had a great conversation, covered a lot from, you know, starting up as an influencer in very different times 10 years ago to what it's like to be an influencer now, where like the game changes literally daily. And I have to tell you, she gets really real about how challenging that is, which I really appreciated. She was very candid. Let's get to the interview. Okay, so Mariana, thank you so much for joining us in the Fat Mascara virtual studio. You are coming in live from, tell us.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you live now. You're based in Los Angeles, but you grew up in Ohio, correct?
I did. It's a little different than here, but I am kind of from all over the place. So long story short, my parents met on a blind date in California and they got married. They moved to Europe. And then that's where I was born. I was born in Germany. And then we came back to California afterwards. And my dad's from Pennsylvania. And as his parents got older, he wanted to live closer to them and had a job opportunity to go to Ohio. So that's mm-hmm. where I lived and was raised there with my dad. My mom actually moved back to Germany. So I was bi-continental for a bit growing up. And then after I graduated, my dad had moved back out to California. And that's where my family is now. So I actually haven't been back to Ohio for probably at least like 10 years. I don't have any family or anything there still. But so I grew up a Midwest / European girl.
Wow, that's quite a combo. Did you grow up primarily in Ohio?
So I did grow up in Ohio. I lived there with my dad, but my mom lived in Germany. So I would split my time between the two. So usually people go and spend, you know, weekends and holidays with their parents that maybe live like, you know, in a city close by. My co-parenting situation was a little bit different. So during the school year, I was with my dad in Ohio. And then in the summer, I would go to Germany. And that's where I lived with my mom growing up. And so I had this like very dual life that
yeah,
I felt like my life in Ohio was really different from my life when I was in Germany. And then I think that just helped me grow up a little bit more at a really young age.
For sure. For sure. And I love that, you know, when I was reading about you, you had these really big dreams and really big aspirations as a young kid. You said that Oprah was like your, you know, kind of hero figure.
I loved Oprah and I still do. And I always had this feeling growing up inside of me and I didn't have words to verbalize it until one day I was talking to Jamie Kern Lima and she was telling me it's this thing that she had and it was a feeling that she was born destined for greatness. And obviously she went on to do great things. And she really helped me verbalize this feeling that I always had inside of me that I feel like so many of us have, whether we come from a small town or what opportunities we can create for ourselves, that I just felt like I was meant to do something and it was a little bit bigger than where I was from. And it didn't seem like it was something possible or tangible either to my parents mm-hmm. or my friends or my peers or my family. And I grew up watching Oprah on TV and then I loved her and I loved Oprah's favorite things. And another thing I loved is I would come home from school and I would turn on MTV TRL. And I was like, oh my gosh, like how do I become this person that gets to be on TV, that gets to talk about things that I love? So I thought that path of my passion for sharing things was to be a TV host someday.
So, okay, I remember coming home watching Oprah too. Okay, like 4 p.m., like, you know, I'm not going to sing the theme song, but I remember the, you know, the music would change every season or two. Were there any interviews with Oprah that you really loved? Because it was very clear that you wanted to be somebody who showed other people like a look into your world, or with your podcast, you wanted to show people the access that you have or the people who inspire you. Were there any interviews that you really loved?
It wasn't like an interview specifically, but for me, I loved when she would share things. So she always like put herself in the story with somebody else. And that's what I loved about her, that she could share so many things. And regardless of what Oprah was doing, like I was interested in her and, you know, she's like the original influencer and she was sharing her favorite things. And she still does, you know, if you think of like her sponsored content that she does in a way now, she still partners with brands and she herself became a brand where I think typically when you were a news anchor, you were telling a story about something else and it was never about you. But with Oprah, it was about her and you were watching because of her. And I love that regardless of what she did from, you know, obviously the show back then to then starting a magazine and Super Soul Sunday and podcast and her magazine and all of these things, it was like, I loved her. So she really is like the OG influencer.
For sure. Have you ever met her?
I was in the same room as her once. I was working at the time. It was my first job after PR. I was doing entertainment PR. One of the clients was Mary J. Blige, and she did a song for a movie that Oprah was involved in. And so I got to go. And I, just being in the presence of her, I wish I would have said something. So I've never met her, but being in the same room as her is like, it's good enough for me.
Oh my God. What would you say to Oprah if you saw her?
Oh my God. I don't even know what I would say. I think I would be so tongue-tied and probably start crying. I have this thing where I like get very excited and emotional that I just start tearing up. And it happens in so many different occasions. So I need to think about this just in case I ever met her.
I mean, you seem to manifest what you want to do. So I would have a prepared statement because I think a meeting with Oprah might be in your future.
I hope so.
Tell us about how you kind of parlayed your passion into influencerdom, because you were really one of the first very successful influencers, and you started becoming an influencer about 10 years ago. Like you're one of the OGs.
I know. I can't believe that it's been a decade now and how much the industry has changed. I was thinking like the word influencer in the context that we say it today didn't even exist 10 years ago. You were either a blogger or you were a YouTuber, and there was very few people doing that as a career, let alone the way that it is today being an entire industry.
Did you know it was going to be a career when you started? Were you like, I'm going to be an influencer and I'm going to like make this my living? Or were you just like, I'm going to start this?
So it's interesting because I think at the time we were learning as we went. And at the time I was working at my full-time job, and there was really a handful of people that were doing this full-time. And I thought to myself, okay, this is everything I learned in school. This is all the stuff I know how to do. I know how to edit videos.
What do you mean this is everything you learned in school?
Yeah. So I went to school because I wanted to be like Oprah when I grew up. And I wanted to go down this path of being a news anchor is what I thought I wanted to do. And so in school, we learned how to write scripts. They taught us how to use Final Cut Pro, how to edit videos. Because they said, if you go to a news station, you guys need to be like a one-man band. You need to go out, film your package yourself, be able to go back to the studio, edit your videos yourself. You need to be so resourceful. So they taught us all of these skills that ended up being everything I needed to know to also write for a blog and edit YouTube videos, but I just didn't know it at the time. And so I was working and I was seeing YouTube content. I was like, wow, I know how to do this. I know how to film a video myself. I know how to use Final Cut Pro. Like, let me try to do this. And so when I first started, I didn't think it would be the career that it was today, but I did see that I had the skills that it took to do it. And so, that was in 2012. I uploaded my first YouTube video. I started my Instagram a little bit after that. And I started posting content. At the time I was working as a TV host, I was doing entertainment news and then fashion and beauty. And when I would post from red carpets or from work, it started to be less about what I was there for work. And like, what are you wearing? How did you do your hair and makeup? Where did you buy this dress? And so it started to become more about me than about the content. And so I started growing my social following from there. And it was such early days. Like, brands were barely gifting. They were definitely not really paying people. And slowly over the next few years, I grew my platform. And by 2014, all those like little tiny like glimmers of hope that I had from like little tiny jobs, you know, ended up being what I could make at my job full time.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, we are going to talk about your brand Summer Fridays and your podcast in a bit, but just so people know, like you have been able to sort of, I wouldn't say like buttress, like you've been able to create like very solid businesses that have made you way more than an influencer. Like I called you an OG influencer, but I don't really look at you as an influencer anymore. Like you've evolved into a business owner. You're the co-founder of Summer Fridays, which is a beauty brand that's, you know, been a runaway hit. You have made yourself into like your own version of Oprah Winfrey with your podcast, Life with Mariana. So you've protected yourself from becoming just an influencer. Would you agree with, given all that, that the space has become much more volatile than when you started?
It's really different now, and it's very competitive. So there's definitely space for new creators, but you have to have a something. There has to be either something you're an expertise in, or you have a niche that's something, or people just love your personality so much that they're following your lifestyle and like whatever it is that you choose to share. In the era of the other people and my peers who came up at my time, I think if you don't evolve with the platforms and find new ways to entertain your followers, there's just so many other accounts now. Like it's just really difficult to maintain that. So to entertain people for 10 years and keep them engaged is not an easy thing to do. And so we've seen with, you know, people around my age who have been doing this for a long time, they now are authors or they've come out with brands and podcasts and, or they're consulting for brands. And so there's so many different things you can do. It is difficult though. And so I felt like for myself, being able to have the brand and have the podcast, they were just other levers of content and stuff that I could put out to my audience that I felt like was helpful, because through all of the things that I do, whether it's what I post, the products we create, the episodes I put out, I really hope to inspire people or bring something positive to their life in some sort of way. And I was finding with podcasts, like yours was one of the few that I really felt like I could relate to the stories. A lot of other podcasts, especially business podcasts with other founders or brands, I felt like the stories were so large that I couldn't learn anything from them.
What do you mean the stories were large?
So if I would listen to a podcast and someone took a company public at like $5 billion, I'm like, okay, that's great. And I appreciate what they did, but that's not relatable to me starting an indie brand from being an influencer. And so by featuring other brands and founders or influencers whose paths seem attainable to me, I love hearing those stories. And so I think that was why I wanted to also start the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's a great podcast. And if anyone who's listening has not listened, I really urge you to, because there's lots of tips that even if you don't have a brand or you don't aspire to be an entrepreneur, like you could still learn something just about how to, I really am not like, you know, live your best life, you know, but, you know, have a better day or whatever it is to inspire you to, you know, to it is live your best life. I guess there's no way around the cliche, but yeah, it really is interesting. And I'm curious for somebody like yourself, you know, you've got a million spinning plates as an influencer, and with so many other platforms, it feels like every day there's like a new thing that one has to be on, whether it's TikTok or now you have to do this thing and then this add on and this. I wonder how somebody like you, I'm sure you have help, but how you feel like you have to keep up with it. It just feels kind of impossible. Like, so why do you decide to drop? How do you prioritize? It just seems like an immense amount of pressure and like not really doable.
It actually is. It's a struggle that I'm currently having, because I think in pandemic time when I was working from home, I could sort of manage it all. I could get up in the morning, do my work on my emails, create content, edit up episode, and that was fine. As things started to open back up again, I had this very full schedule, but then now I was then getting ready and going to an event or something was happening during the day and I had a meeting. And so before, where I could basically fill my entire day and be really efficient, now I have like hours of time where I'm unavailable and it is hard to manage. And the expectation is that, okay, right now, like video is king, right? So I have to be on TikTok. I need to post reels. Well, creating the video content, editing that, getting it up, adding the text, adding the music, that's much more time consuming than posting a video. But you can't not do it, because as influencers, it is competitive. And even once you get to like the top of your game, it's not like you just get to a million followers and then you can be like, okay, and check out. You have to maintain that and you have to continue to grow that and be involved in your community and post consistently and give people the content they want to see. And so it's something that right now I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what I can do less of or where I can cut out or how I can better manage my time, but it's something I'm currently struggling with. And so I'm learning as I go too.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. I just got to be honest. That seems like a ton of pressure. And that's like not even like selling a product. That's just maintaining your brand.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can relate, is that what we do, everything is tied to a number. So for the podcast, it's like, how many downloads does it get? Like, where is it ranking? For a TikTok, did it get enough views? For an Instagram post, did it get enough likes and comments? And so our value of what we do for jobs and how we get advertisers or sponsored content is tied to a number. And so you do have to try your best, because there's sometimes like the algorithm is not in your favor, or just like whatever happens that day, it's just not, it doesn't get what it's supposed to get. And you are tied to this number. And so there is so much pressure of the success of it. And when it's out of your hands, it's definitely frustrating, because you put so much work into creating something great and sometimes it just doesn't perform. And so that's the added pressure of like, maybe if you have a job, you're reporting to your boss and then that's how you're measured. But with us, it's like reporting to thousands of people who hopefully like your content.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Aloe Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Aloe Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Aloe Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Aloe Moves. Go to aloemoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's aloemoves.com, code MASCARA20. aloemoves.com, code MASCARA20. So So let's talk a little bit about Summer Fridays, which is the brand that you co-founded with Lauren Gores, who is your friend. And she's also your another influencer as well. And as I said, your business partner. So for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Summer Fridays, and I'm sure most of them are because we've mentioned the brand on the show, tell us a little bit about it. What void was it filling?
So Summer Fridays, we started working on the brand in 2016. So we just were talking about this the other day, that at the time in 2016, skincare wasn't hot like it is today. Like makeup was really like the space that everybody was trying to get into. And so when we started it, it definitely wasn't as competitive as today. And we really felt like from being influencers for so long, we were testing and trying so many things. You know, you get products, you get a box of 20 things. You're like, I don't even know where to start because there's just like the sheer volume of things. I don't even know where to begin. And so you end up like donating it or gifting it to your friends. And so we really wanted to streamline it. And we said, okay, if we want to create this one amazing product that can do so many things, what is it? Like, it's going to be jet lag mask. Like, what's in it? How do we formulate this? And so we really thought of the concept of the product first and then worked our way backwards. And so we came up with the idea for jet lag mask, and simultaneously we were working on the brand idea for what we wanted to call it, how we wanted to look and feel. And we say all the time, like, we are our target consumer. So we were really thinking of the marketing, the messaging to sell to ourselves. And we didn't know at the time, we hoped we would launch at Sephora, which we ended up launching with them. But if we were a direct-to-consumer brand, how can we really stand out online? And at the time there was no Instagram story, so it was just feed. So what kind of packaging would stand out? That if you were scrolling really fast, what would make you stop your thumb to look at what this is? And so in the time of when everything was very millennial pink and blush, we created a blue aluminum tube, and that's what we launched with in 2018.
Very smart, very smart. Now I want to talk about your podcast because I'm obsessed. It's so good. You have conversations with all kinds of brand founders and really get into their stories. And it's not, as you said, super unrelatable. Tell me, what has it been? What's a conversation that just stopped you in your tracks? What's a conversation that is just like goes round and round your head ever since you had it?
There was a few episodes that have really been helpful to me. And it's thinking about like wellness as part of like my whole daily routine and productivity. And one of the episodes was with Jay Shetty, which I love. His book is amazing, Think Like a Monk. And he said to not check your phone first thing in the morning, because if you check your phone when you first wake up, it's like letting 50 people into your bedroom.
Oh my God.
Sometimes
visual.
Think if you open your phone and you see something and it's like bad news or good news or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're filled with all of this information before you barely even get to open your eyes. And I never thought about it that way, of like the information that we see first thing is really like affecting us before we've even had time to wake up. So he's like, you know, you could look at your text to see if something like urgent came up, but like really take a moment before like opening social media. And like, so I really try my best for like the first hour and a half. Cause if not, I'll open and then all of a sudden it's 30 minutes have gone by and I'm still in bed and I'm like scrolling on my phone. Another really helpful episode was with Emma Greed. She's co-founder of Good American, founding partner of Skims. So she's a lot of jobs. She's a very busy woman. And she said to schedule your days based on the type of work you have to do. So you're not switching between being creative and then maybe like recording. So that's how I kind of batch my days now. So
wait, say that again, because I feel like I need this. If I'm not sure I understand. I love this, but keep going.
Life-changing, which you will probably really appreciate. So
yes,
she basically does like one type of job per day. So if it's like creative, she'll have all creative things on one day. So instead of switching her mind from meeting to call to now needing to do an interview and then
needing to be
in a design meeting, yeah. She's like, okay, today is creative brain. So all the creative things are today. And then maybe she has one day that's like just press and interviews. So that day is like her press day where she's like speaking on the phone and doing interviews and Zoom. So that's like the mindset. Mm. And then she also schedules free time for herself to be creative. So I think she does a half a day on Wednesday and then the full day Friday with no meetings, no calls, because she allows her that time to like, to really like brainstorm and think big picture. Cause if you're always going, you don't allow yourself time to be creative. And so I learned that from her and it's been so helpful. It's not always perfect for me, but basically Mondays and Wednesdays are Summer Fridays heavy. Tuesdays, I do a lot of my podcast stuff. Thursdays, I try to focus on content creation. So I know that day is when I try to pile in each of those buckets of work for myself.
I like this in theory. I think it's a good goal. I think that in practice, it's very difficult, but let's try. I'm saying that to myself. Let's try jazz.
Yeah. If you work for someone else, I think if you're listening to this, that's obviously probably not something that's possible. But if you're self-employed or if you have a lot of different types of jobs, it's really helped me. It doesn't always stay that way, but I know like primarily, like I do try to focus on specific things each day. So it's been so helpful for me. It's just a little difficult now that we're like going to things again. Yeah. But yeah, well, I've had so many other great like brand founders on, like Jen Atkin, Jackie Aina, Jane Huddis was on, who I like respect
love
so
Jane.
Much.
And wait, give me another one. I feel like you're like, these are gems. These are gold. And by the way, I just have to say that switching, like in the batching, I really struggle with that. I always call it like tab switching. Cause I feel like I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Oh my God. And then like, I kind of lose momentum while I'm going between things.
So maybe that'll be
helpful
for you.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. Yeah. Give me another one. These are real goodies.
Another one is Tinks, and she was on maybe like a year or so ago. And I mentioned it earlier, but it was creating the content that you want to see. And I know that a lot of times we think about like, okay, what do I want to post? But it's, we're creating content, recording podcasts, putting products out there for other people. It's for people to consume. So I am like such a big like statistics person. So I'll go through my podcast. I sort like by the most download episodes. I'm like, okay, this is the type of content people want on the podcast. So let me give them more of this. Mm-hmm. And then I go through on my Instagram and see the content that people are really resonating with. So I can make sure to continue to give them the content that they want, but also that I want to see. So like, what do I like as a follower? Like, what do I like listening to? Like, cause there's like a certain podcast, like I'll go back to even like my own and I'll listen to them again. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm enjoying or this is what I'm loving to consume. So let me create the stuff that I actually want to watch. Like we've all been there where we're like maybe watching back our Instagram stories. Like today they're like a little bit boring. Like, why did I post this? And so thinking of that before you post is a really great like gauge.
So I have to ask you, why do you think your followers like love you? I mean, obviously they love you, but why do you think they go to you? Because there's this market is so saturated and you've been delivering, you know, and delivering for 10 years.
That's a good question. But I think one thing is consistency and being consistent to what I am over time. And, you know, going back to my very first YouTube video from 10 years ago, I use Laura Mercier translucent setting powder. I used a beauty blender. I still use those products to this day. And I think consistency of showing the same things over and over again of like what people can expect from you is a great way to keep people along for the ride, obviously while still evolving with what's happening in different platforms. But like for so long, people knew like if I needed a really great neutral outfit inspo, like Mariana's probably going to have it. If there's a great restaurant to go to in like whatever city or what Mariana thinks about a new beauty product, I'm probably going to be sharing about it and talking about it. And with anything, doing something continuously over time just builds that relationship with your community so they know what to expect from you. Because if I was like all over the place every single day, it might not keep people hooked. And that's why I think like if you're a content creator or podcast or brand founder, like having a niche and having something people know you for is so important.
And your niche is, how would you describe that really quickly?
You know, I think my niche has
I should have asked that at the very top.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think it's rooted in beauty. So it's definitely rooted in beauty. And I think that's evolved to beauty in all things. So, and also inspiring people through the content. So beauty in like living a beautiful life and then creating products that make you feel confident and then finding beauty products through like my Instagram. And then I think as I've evolved as a person, it was really rooted in specifically sharing you like beauty tutorials, but people got to know me along the way. So now it's just like Mariana, the person and the personality, because it's been so long. And so yeah. I think that's also something that people struggle with on TikTok is if you blow up really fast, you get a lot of followers really fast, but it doesn't mean you're very influential because people have not got to know you over years and years and years where they feel like this connection to you, which I think is important to being an influencer.
So is that a vote for Instagram? And I don't have I'm not like one way or the other. You know, I'm not like, yes, Instagram, yes, TikTok. I'm just curious because I hear people saying that Instagram, you know, is going and then it's all about TikTok. So, but I like what you're saying about like Instagram people, they've been with you for the ride.
Yeah, I think you really need all of them, which I know is not helpful because like it's just a lot of work to do. But I think TikTok is great for virality and the chance to gain followers quickly, which Instagram for whatever reason, it's just not happening on that platform. Right. I think Instagram is a place to go deeper with the followers that you do have and build an audience there. Mm-hmm. So driving your TikTok followers to Instagram, I think is really helpful because there's people on there. And if you only post one TikTok a day, I'm only getting 30 seconds of content from you. But if you follow this person on Instagram and you're watching their stories all day long, you get more of an in-depth, in real time type of relationship with them. So I do think you need these certain buckets of content to be an influencer because you have to like, there's just different things that you post each place. And I think you kind of need it all to go together.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up. We'll do a quick lightning round. You know, you're talking about how people come to you for beauty and inspiration and beauty in all areas. Is it a lot of pressure? Because if you, you know, if listen, guys, if you haven't checked her feed, please check it out now so you know what I'm talking about. Like, you are perfection. Like, I mean, like, there's not a hair out of place. There is not, like, an errant coffee cup. Like, everything is perfect. And it's very, to me, it's very aspirational. We know that life is not always like that. So is it a lot? Like, I just have to ask you, like, is it a lot? It feels like it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but I genuinely love it. And so I like to create content. So that part of it, there's not pressure in that, but there is mm-hmm. pressure in the performance of the content. And I think that's where I like, for me, is the hardest because you are competing with other people for jobs, for, you know, if you're doing sponsored content, like someone, if a brand is looking at you and they're deciding between you and someone else, I'll say, okay, well, her most recent post, this person got 10,000 likes and this person got 20. So I'm going to go with this person because they're judging you based on this number. And I think that's the hardest part of being an influencer. And it's just something that I struggle with all the time of like, the obsession of like how something performs, because unfortunately, like that's how our job is judged. And so I think that's why it is important for me to have so many different areas of my career. So I'm not so reliant on how views are going on one of the platforms today or like how the algorithm is working in favor on one of the other ones. And so that's a lot of pressure and just the pressure of the consistent posting. So since I've been doing this for 10 years, that's 10 years of almost every single day a piece of content has gone live.
Yeah, that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
It's a lot. And I for the most part, as an influencer, like not every post is sponsored. So you're creating a lot of that content just for the love of posting and sharing because you are creating content for other people to enjoy and you hope that they love it in return. And so that part is what I feel the pressure from.
I thank you for your honesty. I think, you know, a lot of people aren't that honest about what actually influencing is. It's not just like, I feel so cute in this, you know, little top or this like new lip gloss. It's a J-O-B at the end of the day. And you are in competition with other people who are your peers. And I'm curious, when you do feel that way, who do you turn to when you're like, damn it, this person got that campaign? Or you know what, I have 1 million likes. Not, that might be a lot. I don't know. Maybe you do get 1 million likes. You know, I got 1 million and she got 1.2 million. Like, who do you turn to? Because it's like, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of like being an actress. You know, it's like, it just feels like it's the same kind of gig.
It's really difficult. And I talked to Lauren about it a lot and then other like founder friends. So yeah. A lot of my founder friends are also influencers. And So we deal with a lot of the same problems. Like a friend of mine was texting me the other day. She's like, how come every time I have a launch day, Instagram like deads my Instagram stories and I don't get a lot of views. She's like, are your views down today? So basically we'll text each other like, what are your views like today? Are your views low? Mine are low. And So we all talk to each other. And so I think it's helpful to know like we're not alone. And one day I posted on my Instagram stories like, did anybody see this post? Because I don't understand why the reach is so low. And I got so many messages from girls saying, thank you so much for sharing this. I thought this was a problem that only I had on the micro level. It's so nice to hear, which unfortunately, like even at your level, like you are still struggling with this too. So it's definitely all of us, regardless of follower size. Like, so that's definitely frustrating about this being your job of like this big thing being so out of control, out of your control.
Well, I love to hear that there's community and, you know, the founders are talking to each other. And I don't know, I think that's cool. I think it's a silver lining that, you know, you guys support each other. Okay. I want to be conscious of your time because you are a busy lady and I don't know if you've batched another podcast into the day. So tell us, I know people who are here want to hear what beauty products you love because you always look absolutely stunning in every photo. What is on your beauty hit list right now? What are the products that you've mentioned you love Laura Mercier airbrush powder, you love your beauty blender, but what are the products that are just in constant heavy rotation?
Okay, so I've got a few things right now. Of course, I have to mention Summer Fridays. We have a new eye cream that came out this year. It's called Light Aura. It's a vitamin C and peptide eye cream. We just launched a new hydrating serum. It's called Dream Oasis. But other products besides Summer Fridays, I love lip liner. I like cannot live without it. I just feel incomplete without it. Makeup by Mario lip liner. I love. The color is Travis. And on the other side of his lip liner, he has like this little tiny brush so that when you apply it, it's not like a line around your lips. You can really blend it out. And I just think Mario, obviously from being an incredible artist, is just so good at formulating products and the formulas that he creates. I love the blushes and the contour sticks that he has. Like, they're amazing.
The blushes are getting amazing reviews from artists. Artists keep recommending the blushes to me. The cream sticks.
The colors are so great. The way that it applies has like a little bit of dewiness to it. And it's obviously from like him doing this for so long. I don't think he would put out something that he's just like not personally obsessed with. And so he does such a great job. And I'm just genuinely happy for him. He's just like a nice person. And I'm so happy for the success of his brand. Something I got done yesterday was I got a lash and brow lift. And I look like awake without having makeup on. And my lashes, since I'm half Asian, my lashes grow straight and down. And by having a lash lift, it just lifts my whole eye. I'm going on vacation, which I'm very excited about. And it was something that I wanted to do before vacation because the last time I got it done was in the summer. And I feel so great without makeup with it. Like I just, it's a game changer. I love it. I got
that done. What's the brow lift? Tell us about the brow lift.
So it's like a keratin treatment and it makes the brows just like a little bit softer. And then it like is like a baby perm for your eyebrows. So it just like lifts them up. So instead of using like a clear brow gel, it just looks like you have a clear brow gel in all the time. But by using the keratin in it, it just softens the brows a little bit. So they're more like pliable. So you can just kind of shape them a little bit easier. They stay in place. It almost looks like you got like a brow lift because everything is just very lifted. And so I love it. So then you're like swimming on vacation, whatever, you come out of the water, you like still look great. It's just, I'm a little antsy. So you sit there for an hour and 15 minutes and your eyes are closed because they're doing the lash lift at the same time. God. But instant like awakeness from this.
So Mariana, where did you get this done? Is for our LA friends. Is this a place where they can go?
Yumi Lashes. It's on La Cienega, Y-U-M-I. And it's great. I've got it done twice there now and I've loved it both times. And really, really great. But anywhere you can just like Google where you live, like brow lift, lamination, like lash lift. And it's amazing. I'm not like a lash extension person. I got them previously many, many years ago and they ruined my lashes. Like when you would take them off, they would just like fall out. So I was like, never again.
Yeah.
And this is such a great alternative.
Got it. Okay. Anything else that you're loving? Fragrance, candles.
Oh, okay.
Body products.
All of it. So fragrance, Fleur, which is, I think that's how you say it, P-H-U-L-R. It's the brand that Chriselle Lim just started with Ben Bennett. They like recently acquired it. It was previously owned by somebody else. They took over the brand, rebranded it, came out with a new product pipeline for it. So Ben Bennett does this with amazing brands. He did Make Beauty. He's got Naturium. And with this brand specifically, they came out with the first fragrance called Missing Person. And Chriselle recently just went through a divorce and she shares this story of like missing a person. And the scent is that story that goes along with that feeling of like when you miss someone and you smell their t-shirt and what their clothes smell like and the feeling that is, you know, that you get from fragrance. And I think that's why so many of us love fragrances because it brings us back to a certain moment in time, which is also why I love a lot of the Margiela fragrances because they're named after these moments, which I love. By the Fireplace is a favorite of mine. And so that fragrance I've been wearing a lot lately, I really like that one. Body products. I just got a new Rifa roller, like a body one that I've been using. I've been like rolling my legs with that one. And what else am I loving right now? I'm into any like kind of fake tan that I could do at home. So Tan Lux, I really like. They're like gradual body tanning lotion because it's like not streaky. It's very light. So it's kind of foolproof. So you're not like ending up with like crazy tan lines at home. And then a hair product that I love right now. I've been wearing my hair slick back a lot because I'm trying to wash my hair less. So if you see me with a ponytail, my hair is probably like on day three. And I've been using the Bedhead stick and it just like kind of slicks everything down and keeps all the hairs, you know, where they need to be.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, let's do our quickie Fat Mascara 5. For regular listeners of the show, you might be like, wait, you kind of switched these up or like it's a Mod Podge. I know. Okay, ready?
Ready.
your favorite snack?
Oh, dates with chocolate.
Dates with chocolate.
I love it. There's this like dough, is this cookie dough brand. They have like a hazelnut spread that's kind of like Nutella. And I dunk the dates in there and eat them and they're delicious. They taste like Snickers.
Oh my God. Okay. Like antioxidants. All right. Your favorite movie?
Love Actually.
The last song you listened to on your playlist?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. Let me open up my phone right now.
Okay.
A Real Thing by Pink Sweats and Tori Kelly.
Okay. The last book you read, and audiobooks do count.
I'm currently reading, I read in the morning and night. I'm reading at night, The Last Wife or The Next Wife. And then in the morning, I'm reading Activate Your Brain.
Actually, you're like learning.
Yeah, in the morning I do a learning book. And at night before bed, I do a fiction book to like get off my phone and like escape before I go to sleep.
Okay, that's smart. You're really maximizing your time, I gotta tell you.
I try my best.
And then finally, in the movie of your life, who would be the narrator?
Oh, can I say Oprah? I was like, I love her. She can narrate my life. I feel like anything she said would sound great.
Sure. Yes, we will allow it. Okay. Thank you so much, Mariana. What
Amazing.
A great conversation.
Thank you
and
so much.
And congratulations on
me.
All your success.
Thank you so much.
Go subscribe to her podcast, Life with Mariana.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Razor One product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.